Holy Eucharist, Rite 2, begins on page 355 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole hearts and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around from the Millo inward, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him." The word of the Lord. We will now read together in unison Psalm 48, which can be found on page 651 in the Book of Common Prayer. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised. In the city of our God is his holy hill. Beautiful and lofty, the joy of all the earth is the hill of Zion, the very center of the world and the city of the great king. God is in her citadels. He is known to be her sure refuge. Behold, the kings of the earth assembled and marched forward together. They looked and were astounded. They retreated and fled in terror. Trembling seized them there. They writhed like a woman in childbirth, like ships of the sea when the east wind shatters them. As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God has established her forever. We have waited in silence on your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. Your praise, like your name, O God, reaches to the world's end. Your right hand is full of justice. Let Mount Zion be glad, and the cities of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Make the circuit of Zion, walk round about her, count the number of her towers. Consider well her bulwarks, examine her strongholds, that you may tell those who come after. This God is our God forever and ever. He shall be our guide forevermore.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to God about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand and sing hymn number 181 and lift every voice and sing. Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense to him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could not do a deed of power there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the village, teaching, and calling the 12, he began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, 'Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, take off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed to all that they should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the year 2002, I became the rector of St. James Church in Wichita, Kansas. Within the first day after arriving in my office, I started to hear stories about Father Sam. Father Sam was the King David of St. James Church. He was the second rector. He was 6'4", with white hair and a booming voice. One child, when he was walking down the center aisle, even said, "Mom, there goes God." He was a great preacher. He showed up faithfully at the hospitals. And he had a lot of children. In fact, I heard varieties of numbers of them, depending on who you talked to. But anyway, there were multiple children running around. And he and his wife were very devoted. They established relationships with the Methodists and with the Roman Catholics. Father Sam was rector of St. James for 25 years, and as far as I know, he only made one really large mistake, And that's pretty good for 25 years. The one big mistake that he made happened on a Sunday. He was standing in behind the altar with his arms raised, celebrating the Eucharist in that beautiful, deep voice, when he had a heart attack and collapsed. They rushed him to the hospital, and he died. That was his one great mistake. He died. But actually, that wasn't the mistake. We all die. The real mistake was that Father Sam never talked about the day that he might not be there. And as a result, the parish would chew up and spit out rector after rector after rector for 40 years. The poor priests would come, and they weren't tall like Father Sam, or they didn't have white hair like Father Sam, or their voice was not as deep as Father Sam. And if you look at the records of the parish, those poor priests, they just came and went, boom, 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 boom. There was always something wrong. Until the rector before me, who, by the way, was short and fat and bald. But God bless him, after 5 years, when he was being pushed out because he wasn't like Father Sam, he had the courage to stand up in the pulpit and say, "I am not Father Sam, and I am not leaving." And the congregation kind of woke up. And from that point on, things were a bit different. I mean, they must have been, because I certainly don't look anything like Father Sam. All of us, create King David. We create the way things should be. And then our lives don't seem to measure up. King David ruled Israel for 40 years, and he was a good king. They were secure, they were respected by the other countries around them, they expanded their territory, people had enough to eat, he was good in battle. But was he perfect? By no means. I encourage each and every one of you to read 2 Samuel and 1 Kings. It is like a soap opera. Not only was David not perfect, but his family was a disaster zone. It was like one life to live 3,200 years ago. He has an affair with a woman who's married. He gets her husband to be in the front of battle, so he gets killed. And the children of all of his wives, they start fighting with one another, raping one another, killing one another. It's an absolute mess. But we don't want to think about all that stuff. We like to picture the king, the one who ruled over a peaceful, good Israel for 40 years. And so the people of Israel, after David finally died, put him up on a pedestal. And they didn't talk about the mess, they talked about the success. And they established it as the ultimate role model. Every king would be like David. If God was going to favor a king, God would do it by having them look like David, be like David, fight like David, claim lands like David. So when Jesus came, they took David and they took Jesus and they said, nope, he doesn't fight. He doesn't take over people's lands. He is from the bloodline of David, but other than that, he doesn't fit the mold. And many of them missed recognizing him. Why? Because David was on their eyeball, and they couldn't see Jesus. In the gospel for today, Jesus goes home. He has just been baptized. He has gone into the desert. He has experienced the fullness of God, and he knows who he is and what he is called to do. And the first people that he wants to share the good news with, the first people that he wants to save, to tell them about God, about God's love, are of course the people of his hometown. The people that he loved. I mean, if you had the ultimate revelation about God, wouldn't you first want to share it with the people you love? So David goes home. And in the synagogue, he stands up to read the prophet Isaiah. And the word of God speaks through him. I have been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring good news to you, he says. But the people have already made up their minds about him. They've got their notion of the Messiah, King David, in front of them, and he doesn't fit that bill. Plus, they have got their notion of him. They've already made up their minds about him. We know that kid. That's Joseph the carpenter's son. I knew his brothers. Oh boy, they were badly behaved. That can't be the Messiah. Why? Because I already know him. I've made up my mind. Jesus, short of a couple small miracles, can do nothing there. They cannot hear him. They do not listen to him. It says in the gospel, he's astonished. He is astonished and surprised. He expected them to believe. He thought he would be able to save the people of his village, but he can't. Because they've already made up their minds. Who is King David for you? What is that image that you have of the way your life should be? We all form them. We tend to form our King David image somewhere in childhood, adolescence perhaps, of what it means to be successful, what it means to be beautiful, what it means to really be loved, and we set that up. And then when we can't achieve it, or it isn't who we turn out to be, we feel ashamed. There's a very popular new speaker named Brené Brown, who has a PhD in social work. She has spent 10 years talking to thousands of women about shame. And she says that she believes American women and men, every one of us at some point feels ashamed of ourselves because we don't feel that we've done enough or that we look good enough. She says women will look in the mirror and see imperfections, as if there's someone that they're comparing themselves to, some mythical ideal of who they're supposed to be that gets so much in front of their eyes that they can't be conscious of what God is doing in their lives. Did you picture that you'd have a family without conflict? Did you picture that you'd always get along with everyone? Did you picture that you'd make a lot of money? What was it that you thought you were supposed to be? Jesus thought that he was going to be successful in turning the hearts of the people of Nazareth, and he wasn't. But you know what he did? He just left. He shook the dust off of his feet, and he tells his disciples, when you go through the villages, don't bring a lot of baggage with you. Don't bring expectations. Don't bring a lot of stuff. Go and preach the good news. If they accept it, wonderful. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet and move on. Stop being attached to the results of your life. God is not attached to the results of your life. Get King David off of your eyeball. Instead, watch for what God is doing. King David is dead, but God is alive, and Christ is always doing a new thing. You know, when Jesus comes again, it says in the scripture that he's not going to look like what he looked like before. Are you going to recognize him? What if he comes back as an overweight, middle-aged woman? Are we prepared for that? Are we really looking at every person, every stranger, to think about, could that be Christ? The great monk Saint Benedict in the 6th century says that every Christian should look at each and every stranger and wonder if it might be Christ. You see, the problem with putting King David in front of your eyeball is that it causes you to go to sleep. You compare everything to him, and you think about how your life just isn't right. Meanwhile, you can't see. Instead of thinking about what your life should have looked like or could have been, why don't you see what God is doing right now? There's a Catholic priest whose book we've been reading on Sunday mornings. He has a wonderful exercise. He says, instead of journaling about your troubles or your worries or the way things aren't turning out right, why don't you write down all of your best memories? Why don't you think about the times that you laughed? Why don't you hold on to the things that have brought you joy? And then open your eyes to see what God is doing in your life right now, even though it may look nothing like what you thought it should be. You are not King David. But you are. And that is something to be thankful for. Amen.
Nicene Creed is found on page 358. Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort them and give them strength. Lord, in your mercy, bless this cathedral that we may serve you here in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy, watch over this city that there may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy, bring peace to our broken world that there may be greater understanding among races and people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to care for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to bless all those who have died and comfort those who mourn for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Confession is found on page 360. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. I want to say thank you to our new properties manager, Tim, and also Teresa, that worked very hard this week. It feels nice in here, doesn't it? Not nearly as hot as last week. Thank you, wherever you are. Tim, yeah. St. Mary's, our mission in Springfield, is working very hard this summer. They are running a camp for inner city children all summer long so that their parents can work. They are at Camp Weed this weekend. There are bags in the back of the church with a list of the things that they need on it. It is the St. Mary's Bag a Month Club. If you can pick up a grocery bag and fill it with things and bring it next week, that would be wonderful. Also, if you just want to make a donation, or if you have some time just to play with a child this summer, please call us and let us know. We would love to send as many volunteers as we can over because they are working very hard. And right now the kids are playing over at Camp Wheat and having a great time. Our AED, which means Automated External Defibrillator, training is at noon in Ingram Lounge. This is a device that if someone had a heart attack like Father Sam did, you could actually restart the heart pretty immediately. So if you want to be trained, that's at noon. And Brian, our firefighter, is going to run the training. Brian, can you? There he is. There he is. Thank you. It's really easy to use, right? And you're protected by all laws of Good Samaritan. So if you try and it doesn't work, it's okay. But it's better to try, right? So get trained after church. This summer, we are so blessed that some of our wonderful members are starting to offer, for the first time in many years, a vacation Bible school here at the cathedral. It's going to be August 6th through 10th in the evenings, from 5 to 8 in the evenings. And the kids are going to play. Invite your friends. Invite children that you know. They don't have to go to the cathedral. We'd love to enjoy that week with you. Also in August, our own great Tim Tuller is very knowledgeable about music history and composers and all kinds of things, but he's usually rehearsing the choir on Wednesday night, except in the summertime. So I've gotten him to agree to teach a class. He's calling it Misfit Musicians, Four Centuries of Sacred Music. That will be offered in August too, so check the bulletin covers that are in the back or your e-newsletter to hear more about that. And last but not least, I'm going to fly out to General Convention this afternoon, and I'll be gone coming back Wednesday, so I will write something for you to tell you how it goes, and I hope everything goes well. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how much we are blessed when we are generous. He said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitors. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Go forth in the name of Christ.